from the Carter Subaru Studios. This is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Royteam.
Well, you know what day it is. You gonna say it. You don't want to say it, but you will. Happy Fresh Fridays. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning to all of you. It is a happy Fresh Fridays, but I have a little bit of sadness because coming up at 10:33 after Heather's newscast, we are going to say goodbye to a former colleague and friend whose last day as a traffic reporter is today. Tracy Taylor is going to be joining us. We all love her. She's had a huge impact in this region, and we wanted to make sure that we said a proper goodbye, although it's not going to be a goodbye forever because I already want to have lunch with her soon. But we'll get a chance to do that. Text us your messages if you want us to read any to Tracy, 888-973-5476, 888-973-CHIRO.
All right, Ursula, let's get to what's new at 10.
What's new at 10?
And as we generally do on Fridays, Michael Medved, our conservative friend and colleague who hosts a show on 770 KTTH, joins us right now. Michael, it has been too long since we have heard your beautiful voice.
Yeah, well, we missed last Friday. Last Friday was a Jewish holiday.
Yes, of course.
All for the day at the very end of Passover. But now we're really feeling like we're beginning springtime, doesn't it?
Yes. I mean, yes. And enjoying the warmer days when they come.
Michael, well, I missed you, man.
They do. No, thank you. I appreciate it.
We can't go this long without talking, man. There's just way too much stuff going on. Ursula's got to start us off. It's way too much.
Okay, so I want to just talk about this fall, and there are a lot of predictions about a big Republican wave. Even Politico is predicting that the Democrats' five-seat majority in the House is highly endangered. Their political analyst, Steve Shepard, says the Senate is leaning in the Republicans' favor, but Democrats might be able to overcome that. He's also predicting the same number of Americans will have Republican and Democratic governors. Is there anything that could happen between now and then that would change predictions of this big GOP wave?
Sure. I mean, there are obviously economic things that could change. If there was any kind of indication that inflation was coming under control, then that would combine with some of the other economic news, which has been pretty good. But with the market down, what, 500 points again today, and things looking like a big recession, that's probably not likely to happen. The other thing that could happen, and regardless of political consequences, everybody should pray that it does, is victory in Ukraine. And victory, by victory, I mean a defeat of the evil empire of Vladimir Putin and the guaranteed continued existence and sovereignty and liberty for the people of Ukraine. If that happened, it's hard not to assume that it would give the administration some credit for a real accomplishment. Will that happen? Will that change the direction? I do think it's overwhelmingly likely that the Democrats are going to lose control of the House, but I think they might actually gain in the Senate because there's so many Senate primaries in states that currently have Republican senators like Missouri and Ohio and Pennsylvania, where the Republicans are basically cannibalizing each other with a lot of cuckoo candidates, and that doesn't help.
Well, can you talk about the cuckoo candidates? Give an example who you're talking about?
Yeah, the example is Ohio, where Jimmy Kimmel has been hilarious on this, where the Club for Growth is dueling Donald Trump about J.D. Vance versus Josh Mandel versus this guy Mike Gibbons. I don't know if you've seen the video, but they came very close to a physical knockdown, dragout, physical confrontation during one of the debates between Mike Gibbons and Josh Mandel. And Mike Gibbons saying Josh Mandel had never worked in his life, and Josh Mandel saying that Mike Gibbons had dodged service to his country. And I mean, these arguments are not about ideology. They're really about this stupid idea, which could also cost the Republicans, of running base, trying to rerun the election of 2020. And the whole stop the steal mythology, which is poison, it seems to me, for Republicans.
All right. Michael, like I said, it's been a long time, so I'm trying to figure out where I want to go with this. Let me start here. Where are you when it comes to this question? Are you, Michael Medved, the majority of how the Republicans operate and do things? Or are you the minority of how the Republicans operate and do things?
Well, I would say that on that issue, there's not a clear majority or minority. I'm not a majority. But I don't think the other side of the true believers who believe that it was a patriotic act to storm the Capitol building, that's not a majority either. I think there are a lot of Republicans who are confused. There are some people on the Stop the Steal side who believe that the election of 2020 was a fraud. By the way, they tend to be the same people who believe that the vaccines against COVID were a fraud and are actually a malicious plot of some kind. But again, in the middle of the Republican Party are a bunch of people who are confused about some of that, uncertain about it, but what they do want to do is see a less reliant on heavy government spending and tax increases to fund a bigger government.
So let me ask this next part of the question then. If this whole stop the election being stolen and the vaccines being this conspiracy theory and all of these things, why is it those in the Republican Party won't actually stand up and denounce these things, in your opinion?
Because they're afraid of losing their seats. They're afraid of getting people angry.
So you're saying, are you saying that seats and or votes are more important than the people?
Not to me.
No.
I'm not asking for you. I'm not asking for you. I'm just saying general.
For a lot of people, for people like Kevin McCarthy, yeah. I mean, Kevin McCarthy was humiliated this week and caught flat-footed in a outright lie. There are tape recordings of him saying that Trump should resign as president, saying that he would go ask President Trump to resign, saying that President Trump was to blame for the January 6th riot, insurrection, some people call it. And when he said all that, I think he was courageous and telling the truth. And when he denied that he said it, he was obviously lying because it's on tape. And this is not a good look for the Republican Party. I actually wish that the party could concentrate on what the country really needs, which is some united leadership, bipartisan progress on some of the problems that we have, beginning with something where there is broad agreement, which is the importance of winning this war, not just continuing the war, but winning the war in Ukraine.
Okay, just as long as we're talking about Kevin McCarthy. So I read the headline and then I went a little bit deeper into this. So when that was brought up and he addressed the leaked recordings, is that when he got that standing ovation?
Yes. Now, why did he get a standing
ovation? Yeah, like, how does that even compute?
Okay, it computes this way, because let's leave out the cuckoo crazy people, the Madison Cawthorns and the Paul Gosars and the Marjorie Taylor Greens. I don't speak for them. They are members of no known political party except those of suicidal maniacs. I mean, these are not responsible public figures who deserve support from no one. Okay, leaving them aside, there are a lot of other Republicans who are afraid of that wing of the party, who are afraid of Trump coming out and saying something awful about and trying to deep six and attack people, good people like Jamie Herrera in our own state, or Dan Newhouse, who are Republicans with some integrity, it seems to me, and some courage. So, given the fact that Kevin McCarthy seems to be the only possibility to be put up as speaker, the fact that he's not resigning and the fact that he's basically just saying, oh, that little lie that I told, let's forget about that. He didn't even try to justify it.
I know.
And they gave him a standing ovation indicating that, hey, we do not want to get into a fight over who's going to be the next speaker. especially when we don't even know for sure we're going to win this election. By the way, part of what they're dealing with, and I think we spoke about this last time, 2 weeks ago when we spoke, the conspirators, the people who believe that Trump is going to become president before the end of Biden's term, and there are a lot of Republicans who believe that, the way that's supposed to happen is the Republicans take control of the House, and then they elect Trump as Speaker. And then they impeach both Biden and Kamala Harris, and then boom, Trump is president again. Now, all of that is legally possible. Is it?
Is it probable?
No. Thank God.
Okay.
I mean, the country doesn't need that kind of division.
Right. Okay. So, speaking of division, and looking for people who could potentially unite, would Liz Cheney be one of those, or would Mitt Romney from the Republican Party? And I'm trying to think of a Democrat. Who were we thinking would be where maybe some who were considered more moderate? Because I'm, again, looking at 2024, and personally, and I know I've heard from a lot of people on our text line, if it's Trump and Biden, neither is a great choice. Does Liz Cheney have a chance?
Not on the Republican side. Would she have a chance? And it's a very, very real problem. You know, what's fascinating to me is right now, arguably the most popular politician in America is Joe Manchin. And I'm not in love with Joe Manchin. I don't think, but look, I think he's a serious public servant. And I think he's one of the few people who are looking to build bipartisan coalitions. And right now he has the highest approval rating of any politician in America, which is, that tells you something about, I mean, I think people are really, really tired of the Ilhan Omars and the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortezes and the Marjorie Taylor Greens and the Matt Gaetzes. Matt Gaetz, and again, it's about time he faced some reckoning for some of his misdeeds. This is a real problem, because there are people who are running for office, many of them, unfortunately, on both parties, who have the kind of records of, I don't know, brutality against former spouses, the kind of records that in the past would have just disqualified them, but now it's considered, well, okay.
You know, Michael, for some reason, the squad, as they call them, they always seem to come up when there's comparison with Marjorie Taylor Greene and everything. So I'll ask you, when you bring up AOC, what is the worst extreme thing that she's done that really has you worried for our country?
Well, there isn't much that has me deeply worried for the country, because she just doesn't have that much support.
So real quick, you would think that putting her in the same sentence with Marjorie Taylor Greene is kind of unfair, kind of, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think
Ursula, come on now.
Go ahead. Yeah,
Ursula,
no, I agree with you, Gene.
Okay. No. Yeah, look, I understand what you're saying, and I think to some extent, partially, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, whatever you want to say about her, she's smart, and she's bright, and she's capable. And Marjorie Taylor Greene is a full-out idiot. And, I mean, she now wants to meet with Elon Musk, and together with some of the brilliant minds, honestly, that's her phrase, who have been banned from Twitter to try to steer a new direction for Twitter. She's done such a good job in Congress. Now she wants to take on social media. Anyway, do I believe that it's a fair comparison? No. But okay. But it is a comparable in this regard. The squad is way out of touch with the mainstream Democrats and the majority of Democrats. And the same way, the people who are, I don't know what you call it, but the Marjorie Taylor Greens and Matt Gaetzes of this world are way out of touch with mainstream Republicans.
But they are a threat to our democracy here. Like, they're actually on record doing these things, actually on record trying to on January 6th. And I just want to just be clear that there has to be a clear distinction between the two, because when I ask you what is something that, you know, the AOC, that you're like, well, not that much. But I want to move on to something, because I want to talk about the importance of, because we talk about what's important, and I agree with you. What's going on in Ukraine and winning that and over there is very important. with what's going on. But I'm going to ask you about this. There have been 300 anti-LGBTQ bills proposed by the GOP in 2022. Should we be worried about something?
Define what you mean by an anti-LGBTQ bill. If you're talking about a bill that says we don't want kindergartners to be schooled on questions of gender identity, I don't think that's anti-LGBTQ. I think that's pro-common sense.
Have we had a problem? Question for you, sir. Have we had a problem in this country with kindergarten teachers talking to kids about heterosexual activities? Has that been a problem?
No, but heterosexual activities, I don't think it has been a problem because people don't do it. But talking about gender identity or sexual activities, that's what is banned in that bill in Florida, for instance. It's not solely focused on gay people or gay identity. It's focused on sexuality in general. Look, sex ed for kindergartners or first graders is inappropriate, whether it's homosexual, heterosexual, or non-sexual. Leave sex alone for kindergartners, please.
But Michael, you know that these things go way beyond sex for kindergartners or sex ed for kindergartners. And the fact that there are hundreds of them coming out right now, right before the midterms.
Well, again, some of those other bills have to do with women's sports. Is it fair for a woman to compete against a 6'4" biological guy? And if so, then why do we have separate women's sports at all? Why not just make it all the different genders compete in the same arena? It seems to me that these are not anti-LGBTQ bills. These are common sense bills that most Americans support, frankly.
Mm.
That's a much longer conversation, and
already
you hear the music, so yeah. I don't want anyone to launch into something, but we're going to just go with we agree to disagree on that.
Yeah, and we can get to it last time, because it deserves some attention.
It does deserve attention, and maybe we need to also break down specific bills, because you can't lump all of them together, but the fact that they're all coming out right now, and whether it's the intended effect or unintended effect, there are
people right now. It's election season.
Yeah, exactly. But there are also people in these already marginalized communities that feel like they're under attack, and that is an issue. But we'll have to stop there.
But it's an issue worth confronting.
Yes, 100%.
Appreciate you, Michael.
Michael, thank you, brother.
Thank you, my friends. Have a wonderful weekend.
You too. We can't get... It's 10:25. We can't throw that at the end. Y'all, we're going to continue that conversation next week.
We will. Good stuff. All right, Ursula, I ain't going to lie to you. I'm going to keep it a buck. I know scenarios is at 10:47, and we'll be doing that. But at 10:30, what you got on the plate for us?
Well, we're going to be saying goodbye to a very special person. You have been listening to for years and years and years and years. You probably even remember her from her days on sports radio when she was doing traffic. Well, she is putting the mic down, and we are going to be hearing from her and wishing her the best. That's next.
Gene Ursula.
Welcome back to the Gene Ursula Show. Happy Fresh Friday to all of you. And it is time for us to say hello to one of our friends. We just wanted to make sure we had her on the line because I saw Chef scrambling there. So after 25 years of helping all of us navigate our daily commute, Cairo 7 TV's Tracy Taylor's last day on air is today. She's hanging up the mic, saying goodbye to those early, early morning wake-ups, and she joins us right now. Hey, Tracy.
Hi, friend.
Girlfriend. This cannot be true.
I know. I mean, it's such a hard thing even for myself to kind of wrap my mind around. But, you know, I think it's just time to invest in myself and my health and my family now more than any time.
And Tracy, just for people who maybe are just joining us or don't know your whole history, you've been doing this for 25 years, but you are one of the hardest working people I know.
Oh, you have
done some crazy shifts. So talk about what your life's been like the last 25 years.
What's funny, Ursula, just now, it cut out for a moment, so I thought you swore at me. And so my eyes got big, and I was like, "Well, I didn't know that we went that way." Okay, no,
I did not. You've worked some crazy shifts, though. So talk to us about that.
So, I mean, if you're not familiar, I've done TV and radio for just forever. Most of my career, I don't think I've ever been on a shift outside of 6 a.m. No, I take that back. I did do a 10 a.m. shift there at one point in my life, but that was many, many, many years ago. My body is so adjusted to, waking up at the middle of the night. For me, 1:15 is when the alarm goes off. If you follow me on any of my social channels, I always, every once in a while, I'll post a picture of my alarm clock and go, we're doing this again. The older you get, the harder it is to wake up. And I'm just kind of at that point now where that 1:15, wake up is just not working out for me anymore.
Tracy Taylor, I mean, I don't even know. I don't even know what words to use and or say to express how amazing that you have been on the airwaves and also how amazing you've been off the airwaves as far as a friend. So I want to say that first.
Well, that means the world to me, G. I think, I think the world of everybody that I've ever worked with, you especially with your philanthropy and everything that you're doing outside of not only just being a host on Cairo Radio, but everything within the community. You and Ursula really, really have made a difference with Cairo Radio. Just being out in the community once again, where I felt like for a long, long time, we were kind of lacking in that sense. But now you guys are really, really making a mark. And I'm really, really proud to know you both.
Well, thank you for that compliment. Really appreciate it. So there's two things that I need to ask. Selfishly,
okay.
One, can I still get some of that that tea that you used to make me Christmas and stuff?
Oh, yeah, my friendship tea, absolutely. Yeah, I can make you some of that.
Okay, that's one. And two, now that you're going to be getting sleep because you work so hard, I don't really necessarily want to get in your business and ask what's the next chapter, but I just want to ask, how do you see the next part of your life playing out just in general?
To be really, really honest with you, and a lot of people are asking me the same thing. It's like, where are you going next? What are you doing? Are you going to a different station? Are you switching careers? To be very, very transparent, I truly don't know what's down the line for me next. I do know this, and I think all of us can take away something from the pandemic and what we were faced with, being physically, mentally, emotionally challenging. I have a teenager who was really going through it during the pandemic, and she was lost a little bit. My husband and I were both, just kind of navigating life the best way that we knew how, since we were both essential workers and kind of working through this. There wasn't a day that we didn't work and we weren't out in the public or we weren't, doing our due diligence, so to speak. But I really want time to reflect on the 25 years of getting up at 1:15 in the morning and really, just spending a lot of attention, a lot of focus on transportation and transit issues and of course navigating people on the roads of Seattle and Snohomish, King, Pierce, Thurston, Lewis counties. I truly, truly loved it. And I kind of want to bask in that for a little bit before I decide where I want to move on to next.
That totally makes sense. We asked our listeners, and we have the best listeners, and we asked them to send their messages to you. And here's just a couple. Brian Bellevue says, Tracy, you have been such a rock star for all of us over the years. You've gotten me out of several traffic jams. I love hearing your positivity on the radio and on TV. Thank you for being you. All the best to you with your future endeavors. Marguerite and Lacey says, Tracy, Thank you very much for putting up with John Curley and making me out loud every day. Best wishes for health and prosperity. 253 says, I love Tracy Taylor. She'll be missed. She has the most clear speaking voice. Good luck to you. Brian and Yelm says, I want to thank Tracy for all the times that she helped a texting traveler and so many people negotiating. I remember one time I texted in and asked for assistance with a route due to traffic being so bad, and she answered and gave me a route that was off the beaten path, which allowed me to make it home earlier than expected, and I was able to surprise my wife. Thank you so much. Nikki says, Tracy, you cannot leave. You make hearing depressing news when stuck in traffic not seem so bad. You have great rapport with everybody. And I want to just say, speaking on behalf of all of us here on Cairo Radio, we love you. You are extremely talented. Whatever you choose to do, you're going to rock it. Yeah. You are so great with your family, with your daughter, with your husband. So everything that you do is going to be great, but we will miss you.
Yeah, and I miss you guys terribly too. I mean, and there's maybe a time or two that I'll jump in and fill in and give John Curley a little guff here and there.
That would be awesome.
In the meantime, you know, I'm just going to enjoy not having to hit that alarm at 1:15 in the morning, sleeping a little bit later, doing some, you know, just kind of my own community work, so to speak. And I'm really hoping that I can get in on some of those really good lunch spots that you and G go to on occasion. You can call a girl and say, hey, we're going to be in the South Sound. I want to meet up for lunch. Then I'm all in.
Yes, for sure.
Thank you. Be awesome, Tracy. Love you.
Love you both.
That is Tracy Taylor. Gosh.
She's really, truly an extremely talented traffic reporter, first of all, but just an even better human being.
I don't know. You know, Ursula, I think you're rubbing off on me. Like, I'm seriously just...
Are you getting all weepy?
What?
I was trying to hold it in there.
What happened to me, man? Like, seriously? Like, you know, it's a Friday. It's Friday at 10:40. And I'm about to cry?
I know. You've got to tell people when they've meant a lot to you. And I think Tracy has meant a lot to a lot of us.
She sure has. Hey, coming up next in scenarios, I'm gonna get through some of these scenarios and kind of see what's going on. But I think I'm going to go with the one that texts in and says, I'm not going to my twin sister's wedding. We'll explain that next. Generously. It is the G and Ursula Show. What day is it today? Oh, it's Fresh Fridays. Coming up at 11 o'clock, it is time for Agree to Disagree. Ursula, do you still cringe when you hear that?
Agree to Disagree?
No, Fresh Fridays.
I told you, I've succumbed to the pressure.
Hey, what? 1 week from today, are you excited, Ursula? Why am I getting excited about next Friday?
I know, I really am. I am so proud of my youngest son, Eric. I am so proud of him.
I see you, Eric.
I know, I see you too. And that he's gone through the 4 year, I mean, you know, having to go through college during the pandemic. And then he just negotiated. And even before he stepped foot in the building of his new job, he negotiated for a pay raise. I mean, not a pay raise, but higher. And I just was like, here he is. He's 21. He's doing it. He's going to start his first job after graduating. And I just couldn't be more proud.
Mm. Let's get to scenarios. Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario? I'll keep this as short as I can. My twin sister recently got engaged to a guy who bullied me relentlessly in high school. I'll spare you the details, but he really bothered me. It was never physical. It was verbal. I was upset when my twin sister started dating him 2 years ago. But now that they're getting married, it just got real. I will not be attending their wedding or having anything to do with it at all. I told her that I refuse to celebrate the guy who tormented me for the 2 to 3 years during high school. My sister says I'm being selfish and I need to accept that the person that I'm marrying is not the person as before. She says, I need to get over it. my dad is on my sister's side and has been giving me a hard time about it, saying that people can change. However, my mom and my grandma, they kind of are sympathetic towards me and they agree. What should I do? 888-973-CHIRO is the State Roofing text line. Ursula, you're up the bat first.
I think you were going, your sympathy is going to go to one or the other, depending on whether you were bullied in high school, I'm going to guess. However, I'm going to say, first of all, it's easy to just say, oh, just get over it. No, this is a real issue, and I think it's important. A twin sister, there's no bond that's any stronger than a twin sibling. And it would be something that they can't get over. So I think it's legit to say, if she was tormented by this guy, now they're engaged, before they get married, why don't they sit down and this guy, the fiancé now, listen to the twin sister, who is always going to be in your life, listen to her and how you made her feel. And give her a proper apology. This is the thing I never understand. It's like, if you know that you have harmed someone emotionally, wouldn't you want to smooth that out and try to work that out before you, like, end, you know, your life is over? I mean, and in this case, I mean, it's right in your face all the time. So I definitely think that dude should sit down with the twin sister who was aggrieved. And I think that the twin sister then, after the proper apology, should attend the wedding.
All right. Good stuff, Ursula. Chef, what do you got, bro?
I'm disturbed by your sister. I'm disturbed by your sister deciding to be with and marry someone that she acknowledges has hurt you deeply. It'd be one thing if it was kind of your opinion that, oh, this guy was kind of mean. No, your sister acknowledges the fact that this guy was awful to you, and she's with him anyway. As for him, it sounds like he has not apologized, made any sort of overture to you to rectify his past mistakes. You gosh dang right, you are absolutely entitled to stay home. Because the fact that your sister is with this person is hurtful enough to you. It feels like a betrayal, I am sure. You do not need to attend that wedding. You protect yourself. It is not on you to reconcile with someone. You may decide to forgive him for your own benefit in order to be able to move on with your life, but it is on him to make do in this situation and do better, not on you. You cannot say to someone, he is not the same person as he was then, if he has not acknowledged the person that he was.
This is simple, and for me, it is. I think that they need to be more sympathetic towards the sister who was verbally tormented by this guy. They need to all have a sit down and talk about this, because this is very serious. But I'm not saying that the twin sister shouldn't marry this guy, because I truly believe that he can change.
I do.
As someone who, I'll raise my hand, there's a lot of people that say G was this way 10 years ago compared to way G is right now. Mm-hmm. People can change for the better.
Yep.
And this gentleman or this man could possibly have changed for the better. I think this is a great time to do the Ursula special of sit down and talk it out.
Yes, and listen. And he should truly listen and not, I apologize if I hurt you. No, I apologize that I hurt you. I hear that I hurt you deeply and I wish I could take that back. I hope we can work on it. I hope I can show you that in the future, I will not only be a great husband for your sister, but I will be a great brother-in-law.
And if he can't do that, if he can't apologize for how deeply he hurt you, how well do you think he's going to be treating your sister in that marriage? Is he a guy that's going to admit that he's wrong? Say, I'm sorry, honey, I hurt you. Try and be better. If he can't do it to you, he's not going to do it with her.
It does seem like a lot of time has passed in this situation, and I would lean on the side of he has changed and for the positive, but man, you gotta make amends in this situation. Being bullied at a young age, you're crazy if you're gonna think that she's gonna come back all neat and all tidy, like, oh, everything's fine.
That make me crazy.
Let's tidy things up if we're gonna have her come over, you know? It's just kind of weird.
That's a deep conversation, and you know what? again, I want this whole scenario is a truth serum and is a thing that basically says, if you believe that you can change, everybody else can change. Wait a minute. What movie is that from, Ursula?
I don't know. You tell me.
If you can change and I can change, everybody can change.
Wait,
Rocky IV.
Rocky.
Yes.
I needed that accent. And by the way, it's really hard to overcome not going to someone's wedding, especially if it's your twin sisters, and I would just make that the last resort.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Agree to disagree comes up next. Jen Ursula. Well,